Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. Today's guest is Erin Moore. She's an energy, intuitive, and holistic health specialist that helps guide people on their health and or spiritual path. Today, we're going to be talking about spirit contact, past lives, and what it means to be an empath. Erin, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
How are the terms energy, intuitive, and medium actually related?
So they're very similar, you know. Mediumship typically refers to communicating with spirit of loved ones who have passed. And you could look at spirits or souls as energy as well. And so energy intuitive basically to me means that I see energy, I feel energy, whether that be a spirit in terms of a person who's passed over or emotions of others, visuals representing different symbolism or things that are going on for people or clients or myself.
People are eschewing the term medium for energy or just plain intuitive.
Right.
Since we're going to be talking about spirit contact and so forth, mediumship is a big part of what you do. How did you find yourself on that path?
Ever since I was a little girl, actually, I was seeing energies and emotions and spirits like really as like a little kid. Of course, at the time, I didn't really fully understand what was going on, but I would feel emotions and energies of my family members. And I would, at night, I would see beings. And I actually had acute bedtime anxiety and fear of the dark. And so I remember like actually calling down to my parents, like they would tuck me in and then they'd go downstairs. And I remember repeatedly over and over again, I would often call down and sort of say, I'm trying to fall asleep because I was seeing things and it wasn't terrifying, but I think I was a little bit uneasy. And of course, our society is very 3D focused. So you often can't talk about it, but a lot of babies and young children do remember what it was like beyond the veil. They're closer to when they incarnated into physical form. So they're having those memories. And there's more books and data out there now that talk about that. For example, you know, a young child may tell their parents a story and they may say, oh, that's cute, honey, you know, but their birthmark matches the story they're remembering. And so for me, that was the case. And then around age, I would say 5 or 10, I learned to shut that down. And I just wanted to be normal like everyone else in this 3D world. So I would say, you know, those abilities kind of went latent for me for quite a bit. And then there was sort of some catalyst later in life that started to reawaken my spiritual journey. And then those abilities kind of coming back.
It's a familiar template. Abilities, sensibilities of a child at a very young age, they're not always encouraged. And then they kind of put them on the shelf and then they rediscover it later on. You mentioned the 3D world. Can you explain what that means?
Right. So when I say 3D world, what that means to me is, you know, physicality. So it's our physical bodies, what we see and hear in the physical world, the five senses, you know, physical items versus the non-physical, which you could call 5D or energy or spirit, which is basically what we're not seeing with our physical sight, but is going on, the energy that's all around us.
Okay, so, and the D refers to density or dimension?
Three-dimensional, yeah. But you could say density too. This earth has a lot more density than anywhere else.
Because that's related to the concept of ascension, which I'm sure we'll get to later on. You had contact at a very early age with spirits or other types of beings or?
Yeah, you know, I didn't fully understand what it was. It was mostly like I would feel other people's feelings, which is part of being an empath. But then also I would literally see energy. Like I remember at nighttime in my bedroom, sometimes I would see like this white sort of being or energy or like sparkles or colors, you know, and so those sensibilities were going on. I also had a lot of imaginary friends, which is common for kids and sometimes they are imaginary. But if you're an intuitive psychic sensitive kids, sometimes they're not imaginary. And so I would also see people, the shapes of people and like talk to them, whether it's like a person that was alive that's communicating in various ways. Sometimes it was more of a spirit being of a person who had lived. And then sometimes I was feeling energies or just knowing things inexplicably, like someone would tell me something and I would sort of sense that's not actually what they mean or they're not being honest.
And you had also mentioned there is a catalyst to the re-engagement of your mediumship abilities when you were maybe a teenager or just later on in life.
Right. There were a few. So one was the fact that my mom passed away when I was a teenager. And so that obviously having, you know, early loss, you know, triggered my abilities and the sensibilities to start to awaken. And I always did have flashes of insight and intuitions that started to catalyze having lost my mom and then being more aware of, you know, the non-physical. So I did have these moments in my life where out of nowhere, I would just know what was coming next or what was the next step or what I needed to do at that time. And then it was a little bit later, even still in life, that I would say would be the biggest gateway for me is I actually was engaged to be married, and I was out to dinner with this man and his friend. And I actually had this, my spirit guides showed me this vision in the sky or across my third eye. It was like these yellow letters, and it was a message. I knew that this wasn't the right relationship for me. But I saw these yellow letters, and it's interesting because yellow is the color of the solar plexus chakra, which is our power center and about will and self-esteem. And so that was a big turning point and pivot for me in my life in various ways. But that was what really started to kind of awaken my abilities again. And I started studying everything esoteric, and I started doing intuitive development and Reiki and breath work and my own healing journey, which ultimately led to me having a lot more of these spirit experiences.
Spirit guides. When did you start to have contact with them, and what was it like?
Yeah, so spirit guides are energies, beings that our soul has a connection with. The way I see it is that before we're born even, or when we're born, we kind of have these various spirit guides that are assigned to us, and they're basically supports for us. They respect our free will, so we have to call on them, and you know, sometimes people are more aware of them or not. I would say my whole life I was feeling energies and feeling spirit guides, but that particular time when I saw the message in the sky was probably one of the first moments for me. They were sort of, I would say, maneuvering me in the right direction. So I've had a lot of different experience with spirit guides. One sort of amusing, funny one that I could share is being an empath, being a sensitive soul, energy protection and boundaries are really important. And I had these two spirit guides come to me who were like these little kind of funny roly-poly type men. And they told me their names were Harry and Barry, and they're like guarding my energy field. Spirit guides are sort of a general term, but we all have them. And if we're open to them, you know, you can ask, you can open yourself up in meditation to experience them. And like I said, spirits and angels and beings, you know, they respect our free will. So they typically aren't going to intervene if you're not open or you're not interested. So you can, you know, you can set the intention or ask if you'd like to explore.
What are some typical reasons why people come to see a medium or an intuitive in your case?
So for mediumship, typically it's that they've lost a loved one and they want to feel comforted. They want to understand or know if that loved one of theirs is still out there in another form, you know. And sometimes people go and they want specific details, which they call evidential mediumship, when somebody has a question about a specific loved one. And sometimes it's people that are just opening up spiritually and they're just interested in these topics, or they've sought out traditional help, whether it's therapy or for a health issue in Western medicine. But often with mediumship, it's that they've lost somebody.
Some people just want to open up spiritually, as you say. We'll get back to the other experiences with spirits, but you also mentioned you've had some experience with past lives. Was that through past life regression, or was it spontaneous? How did that happen?
For me, it was more spontaneous. I always kind of had this sense of being different, or, you know, not really fitting in, which is common for, you may have heard that term starseed, but it's the idea that your soul doesn't originate from Earth. It's from a different galaxy or a different planet. And I always felt that way. Over time, I would just sort of get these vague flashes. Sometimes it was like literally a flash of insight when I was walking down the street. Sometimes it was during meditation. And I did actually have some other readings from people in my life that validated that. But I had this sense that I did do some sort of alternative healing work in a past life or multiple past lives, and that I was punished in some way, as many of us were. You know, it's different, but you could sort of use the analogy of like the Salem witch trials of people who were doing some sort of spiritual work or healing work, and the mainstream or, you know, traditional, whether it was medicine or the church, you know, was threatened by that or didn't like that. And so this feeling of being, you know, a victim or feeling like something was going wrong, like in my nervous system, was there. And in our world, we can attribute that to anxiety or psychological conditions, of course, but often there's a deeper root to that. I would say, yeah, through a combination of my own awareness, and then I did have some readings, past life regression can be helpful for that, specifically too, for if you have like specific phobias and you've explored the traditional methods to address those and they're not really helping. So that was the biggest thread for me, past life related. And then once that started to kind of come to consciousness and I started working through that, I was able to integrate it a bit more and not feel so much of that sense of something going wrong or fear of like punishment or retaliation. And that now in this life, as I'm starting to do spiritual healing work again, it's also helping me integrate and release that karma and that the fear from lives of what I went through.
Karma is kind of a tricky subject. Since you've had experience with past lives, what is karma? Why do we need it or not? And how do we understand it?
Great question. The way I look at it is really cause and effect. So it's like the idea that what you put out is what you get back, what you reap, you will sow. The karma or the energy that you put out is going to come back to you immediately or within that lifetime in some way. And sometimes it may take until another life. So the idea that you may play one role in one life and you may come back and play the opposite. So you may have been the tyrant or the bully in one life and you come back more as the victim. And it sort of relates to the greater whole of rebalancing of the karma and of the soul lessons that we're here to learn.
So can you give us an example of one of your past life experiences, whether it was spontaneous or was it from perhaps a past life regression?
Yeah. So the main one was the life where I was doing alternative healing work. And then I was casted out, rejected of the mainstream, the community for that, and then ultimately killed for that. Luckily, I haven't had highly traumatic, graphic memories, but I have had memories around that's what happened and carrying that kind of shame and feeling like different or feeling like if I move forward with doing alternative healing work or spirituality that I'm going to be rejected or working through that guilt and shame around it as residual feelings. And then another one that I remembered being in the British royal family actually in some way and a long, long time ago. And, you know, the dynamic for everyone back then was really about power and sort of off with your head type energy. And that I was in that space as everybody was, that I sort of played that role in this life. I've been sort of bullied by other people and I've been the victim and that's related to that sort of balancing of that karma. So it can play out in various ways, but those are two examples.
In that life in the English royal family, do you remember or were you able to pinpoint what century it was?
Yeah, so I think it was the 14th or the 15th. I don't know exactly, but it was a really long time ago. It was like back, you know, pretty primitive, no modern, no electricity, you know, very kind of cold and stark castle, dark stone walls, a lot of fear-based power and that type of dynamic.
Were any of the characters recognizable? You know, like that was Charles II or Charles III. Can you tell us about that?
Good British history.
I'm sure there's people listening. So which king was it?
Right.
Did he know Louis XIV? Did his niece marry Louis XIV? Or right. I don't know my history that much, but I'm sure there's questions about that.
Right. That's impressive that you have that frame of reference. Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't provide who the king was. But one interesting anecdote related to that is that Princess Diana's spirit actually came to me a few years ago, and it was just sort of this kindred spirit, but it was kind of funny that like it relates to that British royal family thread. And I am British by ancestry as well. So, and I've always felt this sort of strong resonance with that. So that makes sense. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't know who the famous characters were.
But did you get a sense that they actually did exist at one point?
Yeah. You mean, were they real people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yep.
So the concept of reincarnation is obviously pretty much a no-brainer at this point when you've had those experiences. Do you have any insight into reincarnated souls from other worlds other than Earth?
I actually think a lot of us are from other worlds. Some souls have spent many lifetimes coming back to Earth in a human form a lot, but a lot of us, whether you want to use the term starseed or a unique soul that's from a different galaxy, I think a lot of us are that. For example, spirit beings like fairies, you could consider them earthbound in the sense that they're of the earth, they're more connected to this earth, whereas angels and beings that were humans before oftentimes aren't really from the earth, don't originate here. So I actually think a lot of beings fall under that category.
Do you have any experiences with that, or were you just privy to it or sensitive to it that it actually did exist?
You mean other galaxies?
Other galaxies, anything outside the sphere of Earth.
Sometimes with clients that I work with, I get the download or the sense their soul's not from here. For myself, one way to tell sometimes is if you just feel like in this deep way that, you know, you don't belong, like you're different, whether it's you don't belong in your family or your job or your community, but in a deeper sense of this Earth feels really dense. intense, really different. I know for me as a kid and for others too, sometimes like I would look up at the stars kind of like longingly in this sense of home, you know, and it sort of sounds like out of a movie. But yeah, I think a lot of souls are not from Earth and have that sense that they're, you know, they're different.
What determines on which sphere spirit arrives at after transitioning out of the physical? Is there some kind of council that says, you can go back to Earth, but in your condition, you're better off going to X12. It's not as dense. It's not as rough or as primitive. I've heard it explained that way, which seems kind of something out of a movie.
Yeah. In my experience, it's more about the soul journey, blueprint, the lessons. It's all about, I mean, soul, the whole point of coming into a physical body and, you know, being a soul and living in different dimensions and experiencing different levels of density and consciousness is to grow and learn. So it really depends what that journey is. And there's a vast thread in the universe between different beings and different karmas that are going on. In my experience, I haven't seen like a group, sort of a council of folks that are spirits that are judging where they go next, but it's more of like a frequency-based dynamic is what I've kind of seen, is based on where the soul is at and what the plan is, or the blueprint is where they're going to go next. And, you know, and learning the lessons is what allows us to advance as souls or not. And yes, Earth is, in my experience, probably the densest or one of the most dense, challenging planets or realms to be in. And so by going through this, we can then advance along, you know, the soul journey more rapidly. Souls sometimes go, for example, teaching other souls or experiencing, sometimes it's more about their own journey or their dimension, what they're learning. And then sometimes there are groups that are helping other souls advance along in various ways.
So when spirits evolve to higher spheres or frequencies, is that the same thing as what we were talking about before with discussions around the topic of ascension, 3D to 4D to 5D? And I noticed that you skipped over the fourth. Is there a reason for that, or?
No, I actually find some of those labels not super helpful. It makes sense. A lot of people talk about how Earth, for example, right now, we're moving from 3D to 5D, and for whatever reason, they don't talk about 4D. 5D is sort of like the catchphrase of symbolizing like we're advancing, we're growing. Gaia, Mother Earth, is evolving, which I feel is happening as well. And, you know, there's a lot of intensity on our planet right now, which is part of that. For me, it's not intentional. It's just the idea of ascending higher. And one of the downloads that I've received around that is that we're sort of moving from this, if you look at it from the seven chakras, the energy centers, in a symbolic way, like we're moving from the root chakra, which is about like survival, competition, sort of fear-based, to more towards the heart chakra, which is compassion, connection, humanity, that process. So I look at it more in a general sense, less so about, you know, what's 4D, 5D, 6D. But yeah, 5D is in sort of a helpful way sometimes to describe it, of the evolution.
And speaking of evolution, there seems to be an explosion of mediums, psychics. Is this something that we should be concerned about?
That's a good question. I think that there are, unfortunately, a lot of charlatans out there. There are a lot of people that position themselves as, whether it's a medium or a healer or somebody in power.
Okay, so it's not my imagination.
And unfortunately, I have had a lot of experiences around that. One of my blogs on my website, I just touch on a few examples. Part of it is, when we're doing any sort of healing or spiritual work, we're not infallible and we have our shadow side. And if people haven't worked through that or aren't in integrity, you know, it can have some consequences that are disastrous, or just it can be not good. And, you know, I feel very strongly about this, because people who are often seeking healing or spiritual guidance, of course, are vulnerable.
Let's say I approach a medium. What kind of information should I give them, and what information should I not give them?
So it depends on kind of what you're looking for. I mean, sometimes mediums will ask you a lot of questions or background information, and sometimes they won't, you know, and it's really up to you too. Like, do you have specific questions or specific issues you want to address, or do you want to just see what comes through? And sometimes, even if you have specific questions, the medium or the spirit that's coming through will answer those specific questions without you even asking, because if that's what your intention is. So it really depends what kind of experience you want to have. You can give them a lot of information or questions. You can give them nothing. Most mediums will be flexible, but sometimes they'll tell you how they like to work.
So if someone does ask for the name of your loved ones or friend that passed, that is or is not necessarily a red flag?
Oh, you mean if they ask?
I was told that you're not supposed to do that. Here's an example. One of my sisters went to a medium and they had a warm-up talk before the session, but she didn't ask for any background info. And she just said, who do you want to talk to? My sister responded with whoever comes through. I think what a lot of us want to see is that my friend Ricky came through and he remembered when I hit a home run in Little League when we were both 13, when he was the pitcher. And I still have that ball in a case, in my trophy case, rather than going to a medium and say, oh, I want to talk to my friend Ricky. I just think it's too easy for someone to say, yeah, Ricky's coming through. I think that's what the lesser developed or the outright charlatans would probably ask for, wouldn't they?
I don't necessarily view that as a red flag, but I will agree that it really depends. Even if you're going to give that information, then of course you would want to gauge what's going to come through after that around this person. Even if that you asked about a specific person, does the information that comes through later that you didn't give them resonate and does it feel true? But yes, I would agree that in general for mediumship, people don't ask those specifics. For me, when I do client healing sessions and loved ones come through, it's not because anyone asked, I want to talk to my grandma or anything. It's just that being or spirit will come through regardless.
With your experience with past lives and the past life regression, do you think that has really had not only a huge impact on your work as an intuitive, but does it set you apart from maybe the type of medium that has never had those experiences before?
Yeah, I think it is valuable. Every time a soul has more experiences in different ways, it enriches what they can offer others, what I can offer others, or a level of understanding. For example, if a client of mine has information, comes through me during a session for them related to a past life, given that I've had my own experiences, that allows me to relate and kind of understand it on a deeper level. I think the soul blueprint and everybody has their experiences that they're kind of contracted to live through and then help offer others. And I do think a lot of healer types do have very rich, challenging lives, which ultimately, the reason for that is because then it allows us to have more compassion and understanding for people that we're working with or helping, or even just people we may meet at Starbucks.
Your website mentioned that most of your clients are either highly sensitive people or empaths. Mm-hmm. Are they drawn to you, or do you specifically try to cater to that segment?
They're definitely drawn to me. I'm an empath. I'm highly sensitive, which is considered to be about like 20% of the population. And so I work with people who are not under that umbrella as well, but that's the types of people I tend to attract. Also, I would say people who are sensitive are the ones who are more open to spirituality or spirits, or are feeling a lot more in general, whether it's spirits or not. Even if somebody's not sensing the other side, they may just be feeling their emotions very intensely, for example, or they may just have a higher level of perception in their daily life. And so because I have lived that, I understand that all sorts of people are having more spiritual awakenings now and more shifts in perception, more interest in something deeper. So it's exciting to see. And there's more people coming to me and that I've just noticed in my life that are interested in these topics.
Which reminds me of what we were talking about earlier, that ascension awakening. Seems to me almost everybody I talk to brings that up. It's almost like trying to ignore like a 30-foot wave when you're in the water and you're thinking, well, should I stay here? Should I get out? Or should I go out and try to meet the wave? Don't know if that's the best analogy or not, but I think it is a very interesting and exciting time. What else do people need to know about you and your practice?
Mostly what I do is intuitive Reiki sessions, basically, where it's channeling of the Reiki energy. I've also been initiated into some other lineages of healing that I kind of bring together as well. And I use the mediumship and I interweave it. I also have a psychology degree and a health communications degree. So sometimes there's aspects of talk therapy that I bring in, as well as I'm a certified health coach. So sometimes nutrition can be part of it as well. So I kind of tailor my sessions to wherever the person is and what they're looking for. I'm always amazed at how powerful they can be, both virtually and in person. Sometimes people have a specific issue or concern, and sometimes they're just on their awakening path. And awakening is definitely an overused term, but it's true where people are having these shifts.
Someone explained this to me yesterday about the ascension in 3D to 5D. And the question I posed is, the people that are really mired in the material wealth, all the things, all the material attachments that you're not going to be able to bring with you, Do we leave them behind and leave it up to them to jump on the boat? She says, no, it's our job to get them on the boat and not leave anybody behind. Would you agree?
Boat of like awakening?
Yeah.
You mean? I think that, yes, we're here to help and guide each other in various ways. But I also think that people are where they are. And it's really sometimes not our job to force anything. When people are ready, they're ready. When their soul is ready to wake up or to experience something deeper or greater, then they will. But I also think we need to not necessarily project or convince others to try to be where they're not, their path.
That reminds me of another well-worn adage. We can lead you to the water, but we can't make you drink, as we're mixing metaphors and so on. Great. Erin, thanks so much for joining us. How do our listeners find you online?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is exciting that talking about these topics. So my website is centeredone.com, and then you can email me info@centeredone.com. I also have my Instagram is centered_one by Erin. And yeah, and I offer 3 free 30-minute calls for anyone who's interested or in a session or who's going through some sort of awakening like this and just looking for some support.
I will definitely put that info in the show notes. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. If you really liked it, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.